Welcome back to Tip TV Finance. My co-host Alan Green is CEO of Man Communications, and with David Buick, who's a senior market commentator for Panmure Gordon.
Good morning, David. Gentlemen.
Good morning.
All the day has improved with your presence.
Well, I think for once I managed to get through the opening thing without stumbling.
Good.
Right. First thing was just the reaction to the David Gove, Donald Trump thing that I just wanted.
Michael
to,
Gove, you mean?
Michael Gove. Sorry, right. Couldn't get
everything. Well, like I seem to have been in a bit of a minority on this because, I mean, Michael Gove is no angel. And I think he's probably quite short of friends since his appearance at Brexit.
Very short.
But I think the scoop on the front page of the Times was top draw. And why all the whinging and moaning and groaning from Twitter and all the papers that this is, you know, grandstanding, this is a disgrace.
Well, the main complaint was from journalists saying that he's not a journalist.
He is a journalist, begging his pardon.
But he's not a current journalist, maybe.
No, that doesn't matter.
Once a journalist, always a journalist.
He's taught skill set.
He learned his skill sets at the Times, having left university, and before he became a member of parliament. All power to his elbow. He got in front of Donald Trump, where angels fear to tread, and many, many others have failed to do.
Well, yeah, but that was presumably the UKIP Brexit mafia helping him there.
Well, exactly. But, I mean, I don't care whether it's the Brexit mafia or not. What I do care about is the fact that he actually got there. I'm sorry, I'm embarrassed to you, so I'm going to turn this nonsense off.
Yeah.
Is that he got there, he got himself in front of the cameras, and I think the most important thing, as far as I was personally concerned, was, though we know that the chances of doing a quick trade deal with the United States of America is zero. It is the shortest time anybody's done a trade deal with the United States of America is 4 years. But it was the goodwill that I loved, and I thought that was terribly, terribly important. And it also gives Theresa May that little bit of impetus behind her negotiations, because as we understand, she's going to come out today and say, no single market, no customs union, we're out of here, and we want to deal with you in a very positive way for time immemorial.
Well, doesn't sound very positive, though, because there's nothing left apart from that. The customs union and the single market. Well, what else does the EU do for us? Did for us?
Well, it doesn't matter. The fact remains is that there are 400 million people on both sides of the divide on this thing. They all need feeding, they all need to trade, and they all need to have a standard of living. So what the point is saying is there's no point throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That is completely stupid. The other thing that I thought was great was to see that Philip Hammond's teeth has got some steel in them. And I thought the fact that in a very quiet, avuncular and very charming way he said, don't mess with me because I will hit back and I will make the United Kingdom a type of Liechtenstein with a very low tax rate for corporations, with very light regulation, and I will make life very tough. I don't want to do that, but if you're going to mess around with me, then trust me, that is an option that I have. Again, I thought the timing of it was perfect.
Yeah.
The acrid stench of awful rhetoric promulgated consistently by Juncker, by Donald Tusk, and slightly lesser degree by Barnier recently, who seems to have mellowed a little bit because I think he sees himself as a loser over this, particularly over the financial sector, where the more you think about it, the more people do not want to leave London. I mean, why do you want to go to Paris when you've got tax issues at all? Why do you want to go to Frankfurt when it can't take the infrastructure? And people are beginning to realise that actually people are extremely positive about London as a financial centre.
It's almost a safe haven, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
Is there a language issue as well? I mean, we've got to start learning German and French.
But I thought we'd just say that there's enough issues there without actually bringing that little plum off the tree.
So that's something. So it's basically out. It's basically out. It's just a bluff from.
It can't seriously happen. The cost, the negative stature. There's a general feeling that the European Union is not really geared up to be able to cope with that kind of thing, and we don't want to say tra-la, tra-la, yabu sucks. But what we want to be able to say is, look, this is a decent platform from which to start. If you want to do other things on trade things, there's a bit of give and take everywhere. And I just see it as very positive from the point of view, whereas I think she was on the back foot. She looked nervous. She looked slightly out of sorts. She was being criticised for, don't keep saying Brexit means Brexit. Now she can actually say what it actually means. And I think that's seen as positive. The pound didn't like it, but all the detractors out there, they're still massing their troops. Doesn't matter if it's Tony Blair, doesn't matter if it's Nick Clegg or Tim Farron. Tim Farron came out with some incredible poll from the Northeast today, yawn, yawn, saying that 72 to 27 in favour, that they all think they've made a huge mistake in the Northeast. Tell that to Nigel Farage and others. I don't think they're going to have that for a moment. A swing round of that nature from being a really major out to 72% in and 27% out.
Right, final question. Do you think that Theresa May is being somewhat railroaded into being into such a hard Brexit stand? Because it doesn't seem to be a natural comfort zone on this.
For her?
Well, yes. She was
I think she's not really a Brexit
person. She's been forced by events a little bit.
But events have said to her, look, that if you have part in, part out, negotiations, well, we'll talk about this later, what you do end up is getting what Ivan Rogers said. It will take 10 years. Mm-hmm. And we know that if it took 10 years, every single constituent economy within the European Union and the UK would be a mess. So it can't happen. So it's much better to be strident, yep, clear, transparent. This is how it is, and move on from there. And to be honest with you, I never saw the ambiguity about the single market. People have tried to make it a discussion point. How can it be, if there's no give from the European Union at all on immigration, how can you possibly say, well, we want to still be a member of the single market? Can't happen.
BMW and Volkswagen will not want to change the terms on which they sell us cars.
No.
You know, so it can't change. It really can't.
Isn't today going to reveal that we actually, Theresa May might as well just have triggered Article 50 on June the 24th?
I think what we do, Zach, and I could be wrong, and Alan, is we do now is that we realise that an awful lot more work has been going on behind the scenes than we perhaps give credit for. That I don't think David Davis has been asleep. What has surprised me is how silent he's been in the course of the last 3 months. But I think that's by design. I think they're a lot further down the line knowing exactly how they want to handle things. Not that they'll get success, but they have a plan.
I think politically as well, they probably want this to be Theresa's victory. They want her, as you say, the engineering's been taking place behind the scenes, but probably Theresa, they want this to be Theresa's victory.
You want your leader to be the victor. I couldn't agree with you more. I'm hopeful that good sense will prevail. I think the stench, as I say, of acrid thought process has been appalling on both sides. It's got to stop.
Time has been the victor now. David Buick
wins every time.
Senior market commentator at Panmure Gordon. Thank you very much.
Great pleasure.
Thanks, David.